You might want to actually go to John chapter 8. And you'll remember, as we did 7, 8, 9, and 10, as we are, and the Feast of Tabernacles and all of that, and in the process, the Lord is making it very clear He happens to be who He is, the only God and the only Savior. And in the process, we shared in John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, he's the light of the world. I am that I am. Now, he said that over and over again. And finally, as the back and forth, as they tried to trap him, trick him, the Pharisees, etc., he brought it to the place where we shared in chapter 8. And in verse 58, he says it as plain as could be. John 8, verse 58. They want to know. They don't want him to be who he is. He happens to be who he is anyway. So he's going to be who he is because he is who he is. So then finally, when you comes down to the bottom line after going through all the discourse back and forth, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, most assuredly, arresting our attention, I say unto you, before Abraham was ever born, I am. Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. That's Moses. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? I am that I am. I am who I am, always who I am. No matter, I can be no other than who I am, no matter how you cut the cookie. I am who I am. Now, so then we went, chapter 9, and the blind man, God uses the blind man. And then we went to Pharisees and all of that. And in chapter 10, he stopped. The Pharisees are standing there still from chapter 9, verse 40, etc. They're still there, and he gives them a straight down the line understanding of who he is. And in the light of the blind man was benefited because he needed help, he needed hope, and he looked and received God's saving grace and had his sight, not only spiritually, but mentally and physically. And the Pharisees, on the other hand, got harder and harder. And the people just were not responding, general public and the Pharisees. They just weren't doing it. And he made it very clear that they were all caught up in being shepherded, being guided, being moved about, but not by God. They were moved about like Isaiah 53:6. We all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everyone's doing what they want to do. I do what I want to do. You do what you want to do. Everyone be happy. That's where they were. That's where we are in our world. Now, so he gives the illustration of the shepherd, as we shared. And when you come to we shared together in chapter 10, and in verse 7, the Lord said plainly in explaining what they needed to know about the parable that he'd just given them, the shepherd and the sheep, verses 1 through 5. Now verse 7, and he said, and then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And that was the real issue. They already knew shepherds. They're all over the place. Sacrifices they have every day in the sheep coming in from all around the temple and Jerusalem. So now, I am the door. And, you go to verse 9, he says it again. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So he says it twice. I am the door of the sheep. I'm not a thief. Thieves and robbers come for the wrong reasons. I happen to be the door, and you can't go anywhere without going through me. How about, is there another way? No, there is no other way. And just so your Bible gets exercised, hold your finger here. And over to John chapter 14. And you read, and God said, chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am, there we are, the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except but by me. I'm the only way to get there. By me, I'm the agent. By means of me. You can't get to me, my Father, apart from me. So back over to chapter 10. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. There's no way to get to my Father. There's no way to get to God apart from who I am. So I am. I am personally a person. I am that door. I am that way. And in verse 9, I'm going to give you the fullness of life to be able to go in and out as we shared together, find pasture, to be able to be blessed whether you go in, blessed whether you go out. No matter what it is, God's going to take care of you as a sheep by the shepherd. And so, how much so? Verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal, for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, plentifully, to the fullness. Not just dull, not just ordinary, to be able to have an extraordinary life in an ordinary way. So there's no boredom in it. Dull, nothing. No, it has a bit of excitement to it. Even when it's doing nothing, it has the existence of being alive. Being alive, not just physically, the heart beating, physical, but the heart beating spiritually. Now, being alive, hang on to that. Now, so having said that, so here's the shepherd, he's the door, and the abundant life. Now, remember, it's a relationship, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what God wants, that kind of relationship, 24 hours a day. Now, I am, so when you come down now, we're going to keep going, verse 11. I am the good shepherd, he continues, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So now, here, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm everything. God has to be who he is. No one else can be God. No one else can play God. Only God can be God. So God, being God, does what he does in the most awesome way. He's always God. He always gets all the glory. He's the creator, the redeemer, the only one. So now, God, you said you're the door. And then, I'm going to add, God said, I am the good shepherd, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Now the word good, there's two words, good in particular. And this word good has to do, there's an intrinsically inside good. And then there's a good that shows itself on the outside. And thus, that is the word exterior, the good exterior. Beautiful is the word. Something to be perceived by the senses. The senses, eyes, ears, nose, taste, something we can sense. Something we can experience. Beautiful exterior. The demonstration. Worthy. Something worthy of being recognized. Excellent. Excellent. Efficient. Good. Good shepherd. So what are you saying, God? I am a shepherd in the fullest, bestest, the word S-H-E, I won't try to spell it. Shepherd. I am the fullness of all shepherds. There's no shepherd better than I am. Everything I do, everything I am externally, I am beautiful. I am excellent. I am efficient. I am worthy of recognition. I am the shepherd of all shepherds. I'm the good shepherd. Now, contrast to what? contrasted to, verse 12, but he that is an hireling, he that is a hireling, contrasted to that. Now, what does the good shepherd do, verse 11? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life, his soul, for the sheep, on behalf of the sheep. Now, why is he going to do it? Why is he going to do it? Because he's the shepherd. He's the bestest shepherd. He's the greatest shepherd. And what does the shepherd do? He cares for the sheep. That's what a shepherd does. How much does he care for the sheep? To death for the sheep. To death. Life, so that they can have life. Wow, that's the good shepherd. Now, hang on, in the light of that. So he's the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. That's what he does. He said, that's why I'm good. Because other shepherds won't do that. I'm going to give my life. I want my. What's your whole business? I'm looking for life. Abundant life. Verse 10. I want you to have abundant life. So you're looking out for the sheep? Uh-huh. You're looking out that they would have life. L-I-F-E. An abundant kind of life. So whether they just breathing and being alive. In the house and out of the house. At work, at home, at school, out of school. Wherever you are. Life. Life. Now. So now, what do we know as we shared about the shepherd? The shepherd's job is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's never off duty. There's no vacation. No vacation. He's just on and on and on. When does he get a break? He doesn't get a break. He doesn't get a break. The sheep need the shepherd. The shepherd is understanding that, and the shepherd isn't going anywhere. That's why you read in Psalm 121, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Whether you go in or out, he's always awake. He's always there. He can't be anywhere else. He can't be anywhere else. Wow, that's a wonderful thing. Now, so having said that, and we have a term, we use it in our world, we say, used to say, and probably could say today, the doctor is a good doctor. Do you ever hear that? He's a good doctor. Not just he doctors, he's a good one. And remember, just taking it back a bit, when the doctors used to come, probably none of you know that anymore, the doctors used to come, we call them. How many times? You know, middle of the night or whatever, midnight, call, doctor's still at the hospital. And they call, and the doctor comes over to the house because one of the children was sick, and we didn't know what to do. And bless his heart, and he comes knocking on the door at midnight or something with his little black bag coming in to do whatever to help. Wow. The good doctor. A doctor all the way a doctor. I wish doctors could be doctors today. The dumb system robs them of being a doctor, of doing all the things that they train for to express themselves. I feel bad for them. Now, in the process of that, so here's the doctor, and he lays down his life for the sheep. So the sheep can have life. That's the whole issue, the sleep. And he's going to save the sheep. And how much is it going to cost to save the sheep to have life? It's going to cost a life. It's going to cost the shepherd's life to give life. He's a good shepherd. He's good. How good? He's very good. I mean, he's super duper excellent. Wow. Now, you want to go to the hired. You're going to compare that now to the hired. Now, in verse 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd. Now, a hireling has a job, he gets a job, he earns wages, etc., he gets them. Now, remember now, the hireling, A, is not the shepherd, B, he's not a thief, B, he's not a wolf. So we already talked about thieves and robbers. That's one kind. Now you've got shepherds, and they got hired shepherds. They're hired. They have a job, a career. That's what they got. And they do it. Wow. They have the job. Hired. They money, career. And when it comes to caring? No. Remember when you used to, when I used to work back in those days, when I used to work. Back with the company, Sanborn Company. What do they have? They have one of when to work, Ribal fire extinguishers and all that. When I used to, anyway. What do you care? All you need to know is what. Back then, you worked for the company. The company worked for you. It was profit sharing. They cared about you. They were interested in you, and you were you gave yourself to the company. That's what they wanted. To give yourself to the company, to make it work and succeed. And when it hurt, you hurt. And when it succeeded, you rejoiced and got benefits from it. It was that kind of world. Do you remember that? Do you remember that kind of world before you were a number or something? Wow. Another kind of world. That's right. What a world it was. Wow. And you worked. You gung-ho for the company. Now in the process, The hired person, verse 12, he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, that means they aren't his sheep. They aren't his sheep at all. And he isn't an owner. The owner makes a difference. The employer, the guy that owns the company, he's concerned. Employees can come in and out. So what? The employer, it's his company. He's concerned. He's the owner. The shepherd is the owner of the sheep. He owns the sheep. He owns the sheep. It makes all the difference being an owner, not a hired hand. There's no time, no break. Think if you own a little restaurant or something. Some of you may even do that. Do you know there's no break from that? You may have people helping you, but you never know. You have to be on your toes. You may have to go to work at any time because you're responsible for that little restaurant, that shop, whatever it is, because you own it. The shepherd owns the sheep. The hired guy doesn't. See this in a different way. Hold your finger here. And go with me, please, over to Job. Job and chapter 7. Book of Job, chapter 7. Now Job is trying to get his friends that are there. Job's in not very good shape at all, to say the least, physically. And he's trying to get his friends to realize he isn't a bad guy. He just, God has done this, and Job's working out why. And his friends just aren't seeing it. They just don't see it. So now, Job, what are you going to do? Well, Job says, listen, I don't see the devil. The devil's done all this, and God has allowed it. My friends don't understand why it's happening. And so, Job, you're sort of down in the dumps. Uh-huh. Now, express it for us. Chapter 7, verse 1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desires the shadow or the shade to get out of the sun, and as the hireling looketh for the reward of his work, that's what hirelings do, people do. They have a job and they do the job. They live the life, but not like the owner. Back over to chapter 10 of the Gospel of John. And you will note, there's a hireling contrasted to the shepherd, whose own sheep are not. Seeth the wolf, now these are all in the present tense, he sees the wolf coming. The wolf is coming, and when the wolf is coming there, he leaves the sheep, and flees. I mean, why should I face the wolf? Why should I get eaten by the wolf? Let the wolf eat the sheep. And thus, he leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf goes and catches the sheep and scatters the sheep, because they're all going to run when the wolf's after in there, and they all run. They all run away. And the hireling, verse 13, fleeth. He's going to run. He's going to run because he's a hireling. He isn't there. Why? They aren't my sheep. It isn't my company. It isn't my thing. Why do I need to sacrifice? Let them. Why should I give myself up like that? So now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, do you see, and you want to catch it? Well, we're catching it. Chapter 10, verse 12. The wolf catches them. It's in the present tense. It means to take away with haste and with violence. Haste and violence. To take away by force. To take, to seize, to grab, to take away by force. Thus the wolf, the wolf. Wolf. What's the wolf? Everything and everyone that is opposed, that opposes the sheep having life by way of the shepherd. A wolf to keep the devil, to keep everyone anywhere from having life. The shepherd came to give life. And anyone and anything that seeks to keep people from getting saved, seeing and knowing God. Now, hang on to that. Do you see the word catcheth? To, with force, with violence. Over with me, please. We're coming back, but over to the Gospel of Matthew, just to illustrate for you. The Gospel of Matthew, if I can, and in chapter 13. Matthew 13, picking up, please, in verse 19. When, remember, verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, said the Lord. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away. There's your verb. With force and with violence. So that people that aren't going to, they hear something but they don't learn it, they don't understand it, and the devil is there, the system is there to take it away as rapidly as possible. That's why I say, what did you learn? I don't know. What did they do in church? I don't know. What did they do? I don't know what they did. Gone. Didn't want to understand? You won't, because the devil's going to see that you don't understand. So you don't have to worry about it. You want to stay ignorant, you can stay ignorant. And the devil's there, and the system's there, because it doesn't want sheep saved, having life. So now, back again, the catch is the way that which was sown in the heart, verse 19, this is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So now, having said that, little catch away, the wolf comes to catch away, take the sheep. The devil's there to make sure the sheep don't get anything, as it were. Over, if you would, on the over in while I was saying that. While you're here, why not? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And picking up the thought again, which you know. Matthew 7, if I can, in verse 15, beware, I'll read verse 14 since it's relevant, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The people aren't, they look like they care, nice people. They aren't. They aren't. They don't want you to know. The devil is very wise. He comes as angel of light, as ministers of righteousness, to deceive, to keep us. From what? Having light. Knowing the right, like we did in Sunday school, the righteousness which God demands. Wow. Now, in the light of that, over to us, here we are in the church age, Acts chapter 20. And in Acts chapter 20, picking up please, in verse 29. Remember, Paul's leaving the Ephesus elders. For I know this, I'll read verse 28 since it's relevant to what we're doing. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Knowing, for I know this, verse 29, after my departing, Paul's going to go, not no more there, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So once you lose the good leadership, all goes. So what are you doing? You need a people that want God's leadership. That's the one you count on. We're just doing it. I am the good what? Shepherd. That's what you need. That's what he's trying to say. The minute you leave him out, you're subject to who knows what. Wow. So now, on the positive side, well, we're doing it. So you catching force with violence, you say, boy, I don't want to get grabbed away like that. Well, hang on. Over, if you would, back over to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 10. John and chapter 10. Now, so on the other side of the coin, you say, I don't want to get grabbed like that with a wolf and run off. Wow. And before you do this, let me just, hang on, just I'm reversing a couple of things. Go with me, please, first to Exodus. Hold your finger here. I'm coming right back, I think. Exodus chapter 22. Of all the wonderful law and the way Israel was to work in their ordinary life, if you were a shepherd, and they were, and you were out there in the field, and you were working for someone who owned all those sheep, and someone, a wolf came, and grabbed one of those sheep, and took the sheep, and you ran after, like David. David's as a shepherd with a few sheep. He said, I want you to know, were you committed, David, to a few sheep? Absolutely. I killed a lion and a bear for a lousy sheep to save it. Now, keep that in mind. If you were an Israelite, a Jew, and the shepherd hired out there in the field, what did you... And one of the sheep are missing, the owner's sheep are missing... And you're responsible for the sheep. You're a shepherd. You're responsible. You can't get out of it. You can't quit the job. You can't go do something else. You can't do it. Wow. So now, Exodus 22, picking up if I can. If the sheep is taken and the wolf, using a wolf, and the wolf gets it and you go and hit the wolf over the head and... He's eaten part of it, and he runs away when you come, and you get the remains. So, verse 12, 22:12. If it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. Now, if the sheep is wrong, is taken, then you're responsible. But, verse 13, if it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for a witness, and he shall not make good that which is torn. In other words, you find in Amos, it happens, it uses it. If you find an ear, you bring the ear of the sheep back. If you find one of the legs, you bring the leg back. So the owner knows there was a sheep and someone took it, and the evidence is by the ear, by the leg of the lamb. You can see, here's the leg. The wolf took the rest of it. So you are not, Exodus 22, you are not responsible to take, the owner will not hold you responsible. Now, hang on. Back over to Exodus, John 10. Now here we are caught in the wolf's mouth. Is that possible? Ah, the devil can do a number on us as a believer, no question. But, what does the believer know? John chapter 10, picking up if I can, verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you see the word pluck? That is the same word to catch away, with force, with violence, power, to take it away. No one is going to take them, grab them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck, there's your word, to catch away with haste and with violence. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So no one's going to get my sheep. They're mine. They're mine. No one can have them. Can't. You say, well, go to hell. You can't if you're saved. You ever hear that? But you can't. You can't do it. Sorry. I can't accommodate you. I can't. Can never. Wow. Someone get me. They can't. No one can take you out of my hand. And God, might as well add to it, here we are, no one can take you out of the hand, and no one can, and what are you going to do? They're going to take you by force and violence, but God, you aren't going to let that happen. But, 1 Thessalonians, as you know, chapter 4, First Thessalonians chapter 4. May I go directly to verse 16. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. So that's looking at the rapture. Could take place before the service is over, I hope. Verse 17. Then, we which are alive, we're right here, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's your verb. With force, with haste, violent, boom! Yeah. So you don't have to sit there and say, well, I'm sort of slow. I know, I'm moving. Say, you're hanging on to something. Forget it. It's going to be force, whoop, in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15, the splitting of an atom, that quick, that fast. The splitting, how fast an atom splits. Is that fast? Wow. So God, you're going to do that. Uh-huh. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So God, here we are, trying to get this comfort. Back over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. So God, we're looking and we're trying to get, understand, you're the shepherd. A wonderful, wonderful shepherd, a good shepherd. And in verse 12, the wolf catcheth them and scatters the sheep, scatters them, and thus in the process. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. He doesn't have a concern. They aren't his. What difference does it make? They aren't mine. They aren't mine. They belong to somebody else. I don't get anything. I just get my paycheck. That's it. Wow. So, to be concerned about anyone, they aren't. They aren't that way. They aren't involved. But the shepherd, in contrast, he does care. How much? To give his life for the sheep. That's how much he cares. Now, over if you would, since we're saying that. to show it. Mark chapter 4. Mark and chapter 4. You'll remember, just to show you the word, the hireling doesn't care, but the shepherd does. The shepherd does. And so God, here we are, we're able to say, and we'll see it a little bit later, able to say in a most authoritative way, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You'll be able to lock onto that, just like that. So here, God, you're the shepherd, you're the good one, you're giving your life so that we can have life. And the whole issue is the enemy wants us not to have life. They don't want us to know you. They don't want us to believe. They don't want us to receive. They don't want us to have anything you're willing to do. They want to exclude you. Pharisees, etc. Now, chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark. Remember, out in the great storm, verse 37, 4 and 37 of the Gospel of Mark. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder, the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him. Now remember, here's a ship. You have been a little ship, big ship, out there in the ocean, the storm's there, the ship's bouncing all around, and the Lord was asleep in the back part of the, on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Aren't you concerned? The hiring doesn't care, but Lord, do you care? Here we are out here with you, and you're busy sleeping. But we just mentioned in Psalm 121, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He never does that. God doesn't sleep. In fact, whatever sleep you want to get it now before you pass on. Once you pass on, guess when you'll get another nap? You'll never get another nap. Never. Never another nap. You say, listen, when's the rest time? There isn't any rest time. It's always rest time. Rest, full activity. Full. Perfect, full activity. And never tired. Wow. Now, so God, and don't you care? And he arose, and we're perishing. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What are you afraid of? Say, well, you're sleeping. And God, you ever been somewhere in your personal life, and you're somewhere, and say, God, where are you, God? I'm in trouble. But God is always there. He was never distant. Never away. Always present. God, do you care? You don't sleep? No. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're on the job. Absolutely. Absolutely. I care. But it looks like you're sleeping. It looks like you're... Are you way over there trying to deal with the Iranians or the North Koreans or the Chinese? Or where are you? God said, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm always right here. I'm the good shepherd. I want you to have life and have it abundantly. God, we're sort of stupid about the whole thing. We don't understand. Wow. Over the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Luke and chapter 10. And picking up that again, which you're familiar, Luke 10. And remember Martha and Mary in that setting, and they're having, the Lord is in the house with them there. And in verse 39, 10, Luke 10:39. And she said, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, Mary's sitting there listening, trying to get everything she can. But Martha was cumbered, busy, about much serving, and came to him, to the Lord, and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Aren't you having a concern that I'm here trying to do everything, and my sister's just sitting there listening? Verse 40. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And the Lord said, well, there's no question. I want to eat. There's no question. The most important thing of the world is right now that we get the food. Mary, you get right out there. Verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, full of care, troubled about many things. One thing is needful. It's not your tummy. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which cannot be taken away from her. The stomach, you're going to have to eat again. But if you receive my truth in your head and heart, it'll feed you hour by hour. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. You'll be able to enjoy truth. Think right. Come out right. Move right. Understand right. Like we did with righteousness and everything in Sunday school. Wow. I want to get a handle on that so I can put it together. Isn't it? That's where your mind is. That's how it all works. You win in your heart. You win in your head. You win in your mind. And if you don't think right and don't come out, you won't come out right. No matter what you do. So one other thing. Well, we're going to have to forget the good shepherd a little bit. Huh. And I tell you, you probably started. You know what it is? It's the time change. No. A good place will close. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5. And you notice God's wonderful word. Verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Don't try to get out from God's dealing with your life. Let God finish, work out what he's trying to do. Therefore, you don't say, why did this happen to me? Say, God, what have you got in mind? Like Job, chapter 7. Here I am, God. I don't understand it all, but God, I'm going to hang in there and learn. And he did. He did. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand. We want to slip out from under the hand as it comes down on top of us. Now, thus, verse 7. We're going to be able to do that in the most successful way, casting all your care, the mind divided up, casting all your care, to stop worrying about everything, casting all your care upon him. Why? Why? What is the reason? For he is caring for you. That's why. The shepherd, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God, when do you take a vacation? When do you go away? Never. Never. I'm the good shepherd. What do you want me to have? Life. Life. I want you to have life. I want you to be able, we can't get into it, I'd like to, but take a couple more minutes. God, what do you want? I want you to have a relationship to me. I want you to know me. As I know my Father, I want you to know me. Not like that, because that's God to God. But I want you to know, I save you. Do it a different way. John 10. My sheep know me. I know them and call them by name. Personal. You want to be a personal shepherd in a personal way for our personal benefit. That's correct. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, and God help us as we seek to rumble along here. That God, we'd get a little, wonderful little reminder of who you are. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Moses and Paul and Peter. You're our God and Savior. God, thank you for being the door. Thank you for being the way to the door. Thank you for being the shepherd, the good one. Thank you very much, God. We put ourselves wonderfully in submission, in total commitment to your wonderful person. God, thank you very, very much. God, put this together for us. There it is. Here we are. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to turn in your hymnal 531 as we stand together. 531.